We are ready to go. Okay. It's off now. We are page 42. So in that, continuing our discussion with regard to preparing for Shabbos, so we came off a big discussion from last week that I suggested that there was something more than just tasting the food Erev Shabbos than making sure that it tastes nice, but rather I wanted to suggest that there was potentially a more spiritual motive here that was going on, and that is leading to a broader discussion of the concept of Avodah B'Gashmiut, the Arizal, etc. So that's what we discussed last time. Now, page 42, we have a section entitled Personally Preparing for Shabbat. So what it really entails is it discusses the unique nature of this particular mitzvah, if we can call it that, that there's a mitzvah to getting involved in the actual preparation for Shabbat. Now, when we say a unique element, what's interesting about this particular mitzvah is that it's defined as a mitzvah haguf, which means that it's not so much about the result being that the house is fully prepared for Shabbos. You could think that that's what it is, you know, make sure that the house is prepared for Shabbos. But there seems to be an added dimension here. A mitzvah aguf means it's incumbent upon you. It's not so much that the house needs to be made ready for Shabbos, but that you have to engage in that. You have to be part and parcel of making sure that the house is prepared for Shabbos. So the difference in approach would be what happens if you've got plenty of people doing the work, or you've got enough people to do the work for you. You don't have to engage at all in the preparation for Shabbos. Should you still then make an effort to be involved in something to do with the preparation for Shabbos? And if you hold that there's something deeper than just the result, that the house is prepared for Shabbos, rather that everyone should be engaged in the preparation for Shabbos, you'd say that even if there are other people to do the work, you'd have to still get involved. It's a mitzvah for you to get involved. And that's what we're going to see over here. And I guess it's two different approaches as to how to interpret what goes on in this Gemara over here and in the actual halacha lemaisa, the practical halacha in today's day and age, when each house potentially has somebody who's the main person getting everything ready, and you may not even be needed in this whole equation. So let's have a look at this Gemara. It's a well-known Gemara, Masechet Kiddushin. It's the opening Mishnah in the second parak of Masechet Kiddushin. There, the Mishnah opens up as follows. Note 32. Aish Mekadesh Bo Uvishlucho. With regard to affecting a marriage, the Mishnah says that it can be achieved either directly in person or in proxy. So if since we know that the man has to propose a marriage with a what we call a maaseh kinyan, an actual formal act, the man has to propose to a woman who accepts the proposal. So a man can actually create that proposal by saying to the woman himself, you know, hurry out to Mekudeshet Li, and but it can also be done via proxy. You can create a shlichut where you empower somebody to act on your behalf, and that and you know, while you would do that and not go through the whole thing yourself, whatever the scenario happens to be. But Avram Avinu, for whatever reason, didn't go and look for a shidduch for Yitzhak himself. He empowered Eliezer to be the Shaliach Kiddushin. So when Eliezer met Rivka, you know, he basically acted as the Shaliach for Kiddushin. And he would have said the equivalent of Hari Atma Kudeshet Lo, you know, with this ring or nose ring or whatever gift I'm giving you. And if she accepted it, no problem. And just as the man can appoint a proxy to affect Kiddushin, so the woman, who normally is the recipient of the Kesef Kiddushin, can appoint a shaliach on her behalf, and her shaliach can accept the kesef kiddushin. So you can have two shlichim meeting up and affecting a marriage between the chosen and kala that aren't even there. Now, even though this is true technically, but the Gemara makes a comment on this Mishnah when the Gemara says, you just told me in the Mishnah, Ha'ish Makadesh Bo Vishlucho, that a man can appoint a shaliach to affect his marriage. And he can do it himself, or he can appoint a shaliach. So the Gemara says, why do you have to tell me both? If the Mishnah would have just said that Ha'ish Makadesh Bishlucho, a man can marry a woman through a shaliach, then I would have said to myself, well, if he can marry through a shaliach, how much more so he can do it himself? All right, the concept of a shaliach is an extension of the person who appointed him. So, you know, if the shaliach can do it, then vadai, the person who's appointed him, can do it. You don't have to teach me both, you know, both. Don't have to say it out loud. So this is what the Gemara says. If you have a look at the line of the Gemara there on note 32, says the Gemara on the Mishnah, Hashta bishlucho makadesh. Now that you've told me that a person can affect the marriage via a shaliach, bomi bai, I need you to tell me that he can do it himself. So the Gemara answers, Rav Yosef says, you're right, it's true. I don't really need you to tell me that the marriage can be affected by the person as well. It's true. I would have been able to learn that if you would have just told me that a marriage can be affected by the shaliach. But what the Mishnah is trying to tell me, that both are possible, when the mitzvah says, mitzvah bo, when the Mishnah says, ha'ish mekadesh bo uvishlucho, that when it says, you know, mekadesh bo, it means that's the best way to do it. In other words, mitzvah bo yoter mivishlucho, even though both achieve the same result, but there's an actual mitzvah for you to do it yourself, to get involved and engaged in the mitzvah itself. So sometimes you have the possibility of achieving the result through a proxy, but if you get involved yourself, then you enhance the level of the mitzvah. It's kind of like a hidur, because you show that level of care and interest and investment by doing it by yourself. So even though you can do it with the shaliach, the legality has been achieved, but there's a hidur in this area where you would do it by yourself and engage in it. You would you elevate the value of what's happening to a greater level by investing your own koyach into doing the mitzvah. The Gemara continues, ki hadar av safra. This would explain what we understand to be the minag of Rav Safra and Rava, who in their respective homes, ki hadar Rav Safra machrich reisha, Rav Safra would actually singe the head of an animal on Shabbos, on Erev Shabbos, meaning like he would barbecue. He'd barbecue the meat. He'd prepare the meat for Shabbos. And Rava would salt fish in honor of Shabbos. Meaning that, why do we have this tradition that great Rabbonim did menial tasks which other people could have done? It's because there's taka mitzvah to do it rather than get somebody else to do it.
That's why sometimes men light the candle and blow it out so that it's easier to light.
Correct.
That's their life contribution.
Yeah. You know, I mean, you know, it takes, in the old days when the wicks were really temperamental, lighting them first made a difference. Today, you could argue the point where it makes that much of a difference.
Would you call that Shabbos?
Yeah, it would be, it's something in honor of Shabbos.
It depends, doing it in honor of Shabbos would just help you out.
Well, that, you know,
switching the table. Yeah, but it does help as well.
but it really is for Shabbos. But she's going to light the candles anyway. That's not.
She's also going to turn in on anyway.
Yeah.
She's also going to turn in on. I'm going to turn in on anyway. He turns it on for me. It's helping to help me. Is he doing it to prepare for Shabbos or to help me? Yeah. I don't know. But
no, it's a plan. You know, of course the. Any help is going to help, but the idea behind it is that even if the result can take place with somebody else,
the thing needs to be switched on for Shabbos. So yes, it's helping you, but it needs to be done. So now you don't have to do it. Okay, good, that's a help, but it is on Shabbos.
No, in the old days, the candle would take an effort to light it. Yes, and now you could ask yourself, that's what I was saying. Well, how necessary is it? But
Shalom bayit, Shabbos.
So whatever person engages in honor of Shabbos is, you know, is going to be part of this particular mitzvah.
It's basically the same thing, just like a bigger candle.
Yes, there you go. It's the barbecue.
So that's the basic concept that the Gemara develops here. Now, it is interesting that when you think about it from a Kiddushin point of view, you know, it's interesting to consider what's being said here. When you say, Aish Makadesh, a man can marry, or a woman, Mitkadeshet, can become married, and even though they can do it via proxy, it's a mitzvah, more of a mitzvah to do it yourself. You know, what mitzvah are we talking about here?
It's showing
them. So what's interesting to note is that you could, at first glance, you have to say, when we say that a man can marry a woman and she can receive marriage proposal, in where lies the mitzvah?
Gets done anyway.
No, well, what mitzvah is the Mishnah referring to? And the Mishnah says there's a mitzvah for you to, you know, actually marry your kala yourself and not get a shaliach to do it. What's the mitzvah?
Not to marry.
What's the mitzvah that the Mishnah is talking about? It says marrying a woman or a woman accepting kiddushin is a mitzvah, and it's better for you to do it yourself than get a shaliach. So I'm saying, what is the mitzvah?
Is it a mitzvah marrying?
Well, that is a possibility, but it's not a simple one.
Leaving your parents and cleaving to yourself.
So in other words, the Rambam agrees with your assertion. The Rambam actually says explicitly that there are two mitzvahs involved in marriage, you know, at least two. One is that the Rambam thinks that there's an actual mitzvah to marry a woman, you know, and quite possibly a mitzvah for a woman to get married, irrelevant and irrespective of having children. Because that position is exactly why I'm asking the question, because most people would not agree with that.
It's a mitzvah.
Most people would think there's no mitzvah to get married. The mitzvah is to have children, but you can't be intimate unless you are legally married. So the mitzvah is to have children. How you have children is to affect the marriage, but there's no mitzvah to actually stand on the chuppah and get married.
I disagree. When you look at society today, you actually need people to get married and actually grow up as human beings.
Have
you not listened to Jordan Peterson at all?
Oh, gosh.
It may be a good idea, but
so the other Rishonim say that?
Most Rishonim are not convinced that there's a mitzvah to get married. Most Rishonim think that there's a mitzvah to have children, and intimacy is illegal, al pi halacha, if you are not formally...
So therefore, getting married is part of the mitzvah of having children.
Correct.
But that's not the only reason to get married, because people could get married and not have children.
That's what I'm saying. If you hold that, is it a mitzvah to get married when you're not going to have children?
that's something that I choose to have or not have.
I'm saying, but, you know, let's assume that, you know, you lost your spouse at 90 years old.
Chose not to have children, have done a mitzvah.
Huh?
Yeah, if you get married, but you choose not to have children, so then you're not doing the mitzvah of having children. Have you done the mitzvah of getting married?
Getting married.
You get married past the age of 18. You get married at the 60-year-old, right. About to get married. Right. It's a mitzvah.
Is it a mitzvah? It's just a good idea. It just be a good idea. It says, Lo tov eyot adam levado. It's not good for you to be alone. Yeah. So it's not good for me to be alone. Good advice. Lo tov, very good, you know. But is it an actual mitzvah? Mamash a mitzvah? That's a real question.
Well, if you look at the data from a psychological perspective, we know that children do worse when there's not intact families. And so when you look at what's happening to society who are choosing either to not get married or to not have children, those people generally in society do worse because they're more lonely and they have more depression and they have more suicidality. And children who come from non-intact families do worse across the board.
Yeah, but
no, we're not talking about
but, just, but in, even if that's
mom and a dad at home,
even that's true, you can have a de facto couple that function exactly as a married couple would, but yeah. they haven't formally gotten married. The Rambam is saying that there's a formal process that you need to go through in order to be married. That formal process, is that a mitzvah or not? Or is it just a... He thinks it is. It's a separate mitzvah. But many others argue the point. So what I'm saying to you is knowing that there's an argument now, regardless of who we think is right, irrelevant. You know that there are two opinions, but how do you interpret the Mishnah according to both opinions? So according to the Rambam, who says there's a mitzvah to get married, so then you understand, Aish Makadesh Bo Vishlucho, the mitzvah that's spoken about in the Mishnah is the mitzvah of actual marriage. And that you should, it's better for you to get involved in than have somebody else do it for you. But according to the majority of opinions that think that there is no mitzvah to get married, the mitzvah is to have children. But you can't have children halachically in without getting married. So then how do you interpret the Mishnah? When the Mishnah says, mitzvah bo yoter mi bishlucho, what mitzvah are you referring to? Well, it can't be the mitzvah of intimacy. Because you can't say, well, you got a choice of either you doing it yourself or getting a shaliach. Mitzvah boy, it can't be that, right?
That's a proof then that marriage is a mitzvah.
It is a strong proof, but we know that people hold not like that. So they have to interpret the Mishnah. So what are they, how do they interpret the mitzvah? The Mishnah.
Yeah, I do that.
So what they have to say is that when the word mitzvah is used in the Mishnah, you know, the Gemara uses the word mitzvah, it refers to a broader understanding of the word mitzvah. You've got the mitzvah itself, and then you've got what we call a hechsher mitzvah. You've got anything that assists in the mitzvah happening. And therefore, when it says mitzvah bo, it means even a hechsher mitzvah. The mitzvah is to sit in the sukkah. A hechsher mitzvah is to build the sukkah. Even a hechsher mitzvah bo yoter mi bishlucho. You understand? Which is the chiddush. That's meaning that the concept is not just on the mitzvah. It's anything to do with the mitzvah, you should get involved.
The lighting the wicks is back in.
Yeah, exactly. So lighting the wicks is a heksha mitzvah. Or setting it up or whatever, you know. Whatever you do, right, is... So there can be different activities with regard to preparing for Shabbos. There can be actual preparation for... You know, actual things needed on Shabbos. But then there can be things that are not directly involved in, a Shabbos activity for Shabbos, but rather, you know, an indirect activity which will facilitate something on Shabbos. And even that's actually, so when these rabbonim are salting fish, what's actually happening over here? Is it an example of a hechsher mitzvah, you know, because it's Erev Shabbos. And so, and whatever you do on Erev Shabbos, you know, what is the nature of the mitzvah that's really being... So is the Gemara teaching you a big chiddush that even a hechsher mitzvah is mitzvah bo yoter mibishlucho, or is it dafka saying only a mitzvah? There is a mitzvah on Erev Shabbos to get involved. It's not just a hechsher mitzvah, it's an actual mitzvah, which will also then come to play when...
Sorry, so where did you make that leap?
The hechsher mitzvah.
That helping doing anything on Shabbos is a mitzvah, not hechsher mitzvah.
Because if you interpret this idea that you know a person has to get involved on Erev Shabbos by doing something, yeah, like Rava and Rav Safra,
yeah,
why did they do what they did? Why didn't they just rely on anybody else to do it? You know, so either you can interpret...
Because it's for you too.
Yes, it's either, but is it a mitzvah or a hechsher mitzvah? Like what really is going on there? If you say it's mamish a mitzvah and get involved to do stuff on Erev Shabbos, so then okay, it's a mitzvah. But even if it's a hechsher mitzvah, it still might be good, still might need their involvement. And that would also depend on, you know, so in other words, when you've got a, let's say you've got a conflict between two mitzvahs, right? You've got, I'm busy learning and now it's Erev Shabbos. Whenever you got a conflict between two mitzvahs that cannot be discharged, they're mutually exclusive. You've got to give up one of them. So what do you do? How do you know what to give up? You know, so you've got to work it out. There's got to be a rule to tell you when there's a conflict, what takes precedence, right? So normally we say that when it comes to the world of learning, you know, that if there's a mitzvah that's upon you, but it's Efsharia Asota Lidai Achayrim, other people can do the mitzvah, rather can continue learning and don't do the mitzvah. Let somebody else do the mitzvah. If it can be done, Alidai Achayrim, don't stop the learning. So what would you say? You know, the Rosh Yeshiva or the Big Talmidei Chachamim are learning. What are they stopping their learning for? To go and salt the fish. Let somebody else do it. So you say, okay, mitzvah boy or tell me bishlucho, but mitzvah boy is kind of like a hidur, you know? And the learning is not a hidur, it's an actual mitzvah. You know, you've got to justify telling them to stop learning and go and barbecue the meat. Yeah? So one of the ways to justify it is to say, well, when there's a conflict between learning and a mitzvah, she'efshar lehei asot al-yedei acherim, maybe it can't be done by other people, even though the result can be achieved by other people. But if it's a proper mitzvah that's on you, it's on your body, on your person to do it, you've got to stop. You've got to do it.
If it's on you to do it, then even if it's a, was it hechsher mitzvah?
Hechsher mitzvah.
Hechsher mitzvah. Then it would still mean if you didn't do it, you didn't do it. So
yeah, but if it's hechsher, it's much harder to justify them stopping to learn. When it's a real mitzvah upon you, it's like, you know, it's like saying, you know, I need to have a haircut. Will you have a haircut for me? No, you can't have a haircut for me. It's on me. You know, it's on me. It's more than just achieving the result. It means Shabbos has got a unique dimension to it that encourages everybody to get involved. You must play a role in preparing for Shabbos. And it goes so far as to say that we equivocate it with actual mitzvahs. And that when it comes to clash with learning, for example, as one of the mitzvahs, we say that, yeah, you have to stop learning for a bit to get involved with, you know, with the actual mitzvah.
And how much would one have to get involved, I think?
Well, you'd have to work that out in each case, in each scenario. You know, but... As long as you realize there is a mitzvah to do something in honor of Shabbos, Erev Shabbos, get involved with it yourself. It can, you know, cooking the, you know, barbecuing the meat or salting the fish, how long does that take? Sounds like, oh, it's a big job. Maybe not a big job.
Let's say you've like prepared 99.9% of Shabbos and the spouse comes in and they just turn off the lights in the fridge.
Yes, that's good.
That's it.
That's good. So in other words,
the quantity is
irrelevant. It's what the scenario presents itself with. There can be one of two scenarios. One is where your help is needed. And at the same time that your help is needed, you are honoring Shabbos and everything's good. And there's another situation where your help really isn't that needed or it isn't that important, but it's good for you to engage in the preparation of Shabbos. Or if it's not needed at all. You know, so in the case of Rava or Rav Safra, I mean, I don't know how long it took to singe the hair or the head of this animal that they were eating. You know, but not long. So you'd say, okay, what did he do? He did 5 minutes, 10 minutes. You know, that's what you would do. You know, you put the bra on, off you go. You've got 10 minutes, 20 minutes, and then you're done. I've done my bit. So it's irrelevant to quantity because it's separate. It needs to be seen separate from what's needed. In order to, at least the strongest muscle here behind this mitzvah is that it's got to be done by you, even at the expense of learning. When the two mitzvahs that clash, not learning. Learning is its own special mitzvah. And therefore we have a rule that if it can be done by others, you shouldn't do it. Just carry on learning. If it can't be done by others, and when it comes to Shabbos, Shabbos overrides it, which is amazing. The other rule, when we have one mitzvah, where two mitzvahs collide and you have to make a choice, there we say, "Osek b'mitzvah, patur mina mitzvah." Whichever mitzvah you're doing first, that's the one that takes precedent. There's no other mitzvah that exists at the time that you are doing the first mitzvah. You know, so there, the second mitzvah is kind of canceled. Well, that's a big argument, if it's canceled or deferred. But, you know, that's the question. So let's say, for example, if you're at a wedding, you're at a wedding, right? So we're all dancing with a chosen, whatever it is, and then somebody says Maariv. Well, so if everyone's going to file out, you know, then there's going to be three people on the dance floor. Chosen's not going to do Maariv. You know, so what is that? Why would you knock? There's a mitzvah between Mesameach and Chatan. You being Mesameach and Chatan, you have no chiyuv to daven Maariv. I was like, mitzvah, patra mina mitzvah. You know, when I'm finished with the chosen, you know, and, you know, whatever they're serving, main course or it's a break, whatever it is, then hanefanam, go daven Maariv. But while he's dancing, you're going to mess up the dancing. Don't mess up the dance unless you're one of those who don't get involved in the dancing. Then, you know, you're like a hechsher mitzvah coming to the wedding. You know, because your wife already got involved, so you brought her. You're the hechsher mitzvah. You know, whatever's going on at the time, that's the one you are concentrating on. You know, the question is the chiyuv completely cancelled so that when it's finished, you didn't even have an obligation at all? What do you say? No, it's just deferred until you have an opportunity. If you have an opportunity later, you have to daven. If you don't have an opportunity later, then you didn't do anything, you know, you didn't do anything wrong. So there are differences. You know, sometimes you have when we come back from the funerals, you know. So the day of the funeral, you know, when your loved one was buried, so you missed out on a shakris, on a mincha, or whatever it is, right? So there, you know, everybody's at the levaya. So now is there a mitzvah when you get back to make up the tefillah that you missed because of a so I was like, well, mitzvah patur. Does patur mean deferred? Yes, that you got a chance to make it up. Or patur means no, it's completely clean. You know, you had no obligation in the first place. These are big discussions.
What's the general?
That depends on what mitzvah you're talking about, you know? This is an argument in the Shulchan Aruch between the Nosei Kalim, whether you do it or not, whether you have to go and make up the davening. But you see, the argument is based on this concept here. So the same thing over here. If you're doing another mitzvah, you know, I also like a mitzvah, patur from, so you know, with learning, it's an interesting one that you've got this other rule that plays with it as well. But this is what people are asking in today's day and age, because in today's day and age, the nature of your help, and who does the actual work for Erev Shabbos, that could be different than it was in the old days. And this is what you
say about people in Quebec.
It wouldn't
under any circumstance be us or to Dubbins. No.
You could offer
to make up.
No, the question is, if you have to, if you want to volunteer davening, you could.
There's no reason you
could. Yeah. So you know, this is part of what we found over here, where if you have a look at the Shulchan Aruch, well, let's just go back a bit. But so let's go to page 43 at the top, note 34. So yeah, this is kind of the question with regard to the learning, and should you take off the learning? So there, the Shara Tzion writes, you know, Menire, it appears, the Lo Shaych Bazel Omar Mitzvah Sheyuchal Le'asot Al Yedei Acherim Ein Mevatlin HaTalmud Afilu Lizman Muat V'acha Halo Yuchal La'asot Al Yedei Shlucho Da'adif Hu Mimi Shehu Acher Lagamre. In other words, why are you stopping to learn? You can do it by somebody else. Get a shaliach to do it for you. Yeish Lomar D'davka Mitzvah She'ein Mutelet Al Gufo. No, it's such a strong mitzvah that's preparing for Shabbos that it's as if everybody has a mitzvah to do this. And getting a shaliach to do it is not achieving what needs to happen over here. The result might be achieved, but you getting involved personally is not achieved. This is not like doing a regular, this is not such as stopping in the middle of learning to do a chesed for another, where another can perform that favor instead. This is not true over here. Where Kavod Shabbat is incumbent upon every single person. So it follows that the mitzvah is greater when he performs it by himself than through his agent. So that's the first approach to this. That it's a mitzvah upon the person. The second approach is that even if it's not upon the person, the result is important. But there, inami de'davka linyan Kavod Shabbos amrinan de'kein de'chamira. It's such a weighty mitzvah that even so, one has to stop learning and go and get involved. And the question is, which one is it, and what are the nafkiminas? And he writes for Tzarich Iyun, you know. So this is the question of how long you have to take off learning to go and get involved in the mitzvah.
It says that's why they specifically had a very limited, small time.
Right, so we first think, wow, it's a big job. It might not be the big job. So the Shulchan Aruch has an interesting expression here. He says like this, Yashkim ha-boker b'yom shishi l'achin tzorchei Shabbos. This person must get up in the morning, early on Friday, to begin preparation. V'afilu yesh lo kama avadim l'shamsho, even if he's got staff, you know, yishtadel l'achin b'atzmo shum davar l'tzorchei Shabbos k'day l'chavdo. Person should do something to prepare an honor of Shabbos. Now, the word yishtadel, how do you interpret that word? What's yishtadel? What does that mean? Try. That is a very interesting way to express a mitzvah. Do you know what I mean? Yishtadel. Is it a mitzvah? Is it a hechsha mitzvah? Is it, you know what I mean? That's really an interesting question. And then he quotes the Gemara. Rav Chisda got involved, you know, by making salad. The Rabbi Rav Yosef would chop wood. The Rabbi Zaira would light madlik eish. The Rav Nachman ya metaka in a bayit. Umachnis kalim matzrichim l'shabbos. You would switch over the kalim from, it's at the table, from Chol Dika Kalim to Shabbos Dika Kalim. Umehem Yilmad Kol Adam. Everybody should learn from these great Talmidei Chachomim. Lo Yomar Lo Efgom Kvodi. It's not beneath my dignity. It is beneath my dignity. Kizehu Kvodo Taka. This is a big thing. the covered Shabbos. It's interesting how he's phrasing this over here, right? The Shulchan Aruch is throwing in Yishtadel, and then he's saying that, and don't be surprised that great Talmidei Chachamim got involved, thinking they could, you know, that they're trying to teach you not to get out of it by saying this is not my covered for a Rosh Hashiva to start, you know, barbecuing the meat. Because there are certain mitzvahs where the clash is in this parameter too. There's a mitzvah of a Shabbat Aveda. But if you like walking, you know, next to someone's house or whatever, and somebody's undies is like blown off the washing line, Rosh Hashiva to pick up somebody's underwear and return it, it's lo kirich vado. You can walk past it and say, look, yeah. You know, because there's certain parameters where it's not your cover to return it. But, you know, even, yeah, you could say, ah, it's not my cover to go and start getting my hands dirty. No, it is. It is. Anyway, so the Mishnah Berurah says like this, you know, Umehem yilmod kol adam, quoting the Shulchan Aruch, even if you are, Hainu afilu echashuv yoter. He talks about, he says, and specifically during Yamim Ktsarim, winter, you know, there he says everyone's got to roll up sleeves because there's always pressure on a Friday during winter. So the Mishnah Berurah is kind of like, I don't know if I would like be brave enough to say that he's kind of done a detour. He's talking about, and get involved, especially Erev Shabbos when it's needed. You know, and like there's another angle to it. Even if it's not that needed, it's still important. Or maybe not. Like, what, you know, what is it? So the shail is, how come most of us don't get involved? Most men don't get involved. So either they're working, you know. So if they're working away from home, it's just like kind of sorted out the responsibilities, you know, for you.
No, I think
how many men come home early from work and all on Erev Shabbos?
So don't come early if I'm early sick. You know, even looking after the kids so that the wife can do the last finishing touches is also doing something.
The question is, what do people, what's become the minhag, you know, the default position? So I'm saying probably most people don't work from home. Well, they didn't anyway. So it probably sorts out the problem. So problem meaning there's no clash. They're not around. But if you are around, you know, look at the Aruch HaShulchan in Note 37. He seems to be saying that even in his day, he's trying to justify why men did not get involved like they did in the days of the Gemara. So number one, he says it's not an obligation, a mitzvah like we interpret it. Elahu hidur mitzvah, ve'etzleinu neshoteinu osot. And in our days, our wives do it. We're doing it as a joint. I'm doing my thing. She's doing her thing. You know. So you see, there's always been this kind of. You know, there's this tension exactly on what level to get involved.
That's very nice. Which part of it?
Right.
That we're as one.
And if we're one, we're one. Then it's one everywhere, not just sometimes. All of us have to do my own thing because we're not. Come on.
Take it. I don't know. I think in a place like Australia, and they spend lots of money, that men are, you know, they might come home and they might only attend the full Shabbos, but they're still being a part of it. Or even when Shabbos is in, they might be doing last minute tying shoelaces or doing something to get kids out the door for shul or something. Like there's tons to do. I don't know how you do it for that.
Also, that's just a question of habits.
Yes. Yeah. But you want to get going and you want to be chill on time.
Yeah. Look, there's no question. Everything helps. But I think it's, you know, I think it should be more than just that I'm needed to do it, but it's like part and parcel of your contribution.
Like they shouldn't think that they, or somebody shouldn't think that they're doing such a big thing to be helpful. Actually, they're obligated to be helpful.
No. Yeah.
Because like, what about your children? You know, they come in and they come in from school or whatever.
Yeah,
they go shower.
That's got not to do with cover shower stuff.
No, I'm saying, shouldn't they also be participating in the household?
But
those
that's
who
not
the, what? We're talking about everybody, not just married people, are we? We're only talking about married
no,
people.
Everyone.
So exactly.
But it's not because you need the help.
No, I'm saying that people who come, no matter who lives in the household, should have the mitzvah of helping, of assisting.
And even who don't live in the household, someone's visiting, the same thing.
Okay.
Because everybody needs to do something.
I just said, but I'm just saying, like, if you've got children or whatever, even young children, you should.
Hey, mama, stop the whole thing.
Sure, partly she gets it. I think Erin's contribution is the cake fresh. Warren said that his father once went to this house.
Yeah. Okay, so what we basically, if we put it all together from what we had when we started discussing this, that there was an interesting set of parameters as to when preparation for Shabbos begins. So one could, we spoke about already having Shabbos in mind from Sunday already. So, but this particular, in other words, you probably have to distinguish between intellectually engaging with the concept of Shabbos in your mind, like saying Ayom Yom Rishon B'Shabbat, you know, or putting aside, is putting aside a favorite piece of meat for Shabbos already considered? If I find a good piece of meat on Wednesday and I buy it and I bring it home and I freeze it, whatever, so I'm already yotzei my preparation for Shabbos mitzvah. What do you say? No, it's too far away. I've still got to do something on the Friday. So it's an interesting point as to when the achonim for Shabbos actually begins. The Shulchan Aruch spoke about, and the Mishnah Berurah has got up early on Friday to do whatever you can. They seem to be talking Friday, but it's not, you know, it is interesting to work out if somebody did something for Shabbos on Wednesday, if for that week I've already done my mitzvah. So let's say, using our example where there are two components to the mitzvah of preparing for Shabbos, there's the result of making sure that Shabbos has all its needs taken care of, right? And there, I can, you know, I can say, on a Friday, I'm here to help. But then there's another component to the mitzvah that even if it's not so much the help, it's everyone, you know, your wife can do it yourself. You can do it yourself. But it's a mitzvah for you to engage in the preparation of Shabbos. Then have I fulfilled my mitzvah on Wednesday by buying a good piece of food and putting it aside for Shabbos? It could be. So that's what you need to, you know, you need to really work out at what point in time, you know?
So it's COVID, sorry. How does COVID Shabbos relate to Zachor and Shamor? Is it a separate thing? Like if you buy something on during the week, that's Zachor.
Yeah, so there is a way of saying, we'll get to it when we talk about Kiddush and candle lighting, that all the assays, everything that you do that's positive for Shabbos is under Zachor.
So even Erev Shabbos.
Yeah, whatever you do, Erev Shabbos, you know. Yeah, so things that you do in preparation for Shabbos is Kavod Shabbos. It's all Lichvod Shabbos.
It's Lichvod Zeche Shabbos. Like, what's the connection? Because you say everything positive that you do is the Kavod Shabbos, but it's Zeche Shabbos.
What do you mean by zecher? Zachor.
You said it's all, yeah, sorry.
Ah.
Under
Zachor, under the mitzvah Zachor. Yeah, so Zachor, broadly speaking, is do things in honor of Shabbos. So anything that's positive, any positive mitzvah, I say, is that's done before Shabbos, is part of a, then on Shabbos, you have assays as well, which is also part of Zachor.
Yeah.
It won't be Kavod Shabbos on Shabbos. Kavod is generally before Shabbos. On Shabbos is Oneg Shabbos. So kibbutz Shabbos is what's done before in honor of Shabbos, getting the house clean, clean sheets, bed linen, everything in honor of Shabbos, changing, showering, cleaning up your room, getting into clothes, Shabbos ticket clothes, setting up the candles, all of that, even the candle lighting in and of itself, it's all done Erev Shabbos. That is kind of like lichvod Shabbos, kavod Shabbos. The enjoyment that you get from everything on Shabbos is Oneg Shabbos, one of the mitzvahs of Oneg. Oneg is what you're doing on Shabbos for Shabbos, and Kavod is what you're doing before Shabbos for Shabbos. All right, so we'll achieve, we'll move on. Shamor is all the melochas, don't do any of them. Shamor is all the don'ts. Okay, so we will
thank you so much.
Pick up, yeah, we'll pick up. What's happening next week? I forget where I am. Yeah.
Where are you going?
Okay, so we'll I've got a